Hello and welcome to the Grand Cast, Season 3, Episode 4. Today is Friday, July 21st, 2017, in the Gregorian calendar. In the Julian calendar, today is July 8th, 2017. Julius Caesar created this calendar in 45 BC. In the Hebrew calendar, today is the 27th of Tammuz in the year 5777. This calendar was created by God himself. In the Islamic calendar, today is the 26th of Shawwal in the year 1438. Coincidentally, this calendar was also made by God. In the Persian calendar, today is the 30th of Tir, 1396. According to the Mayan long count calendar, today is 13-0-4-11-13. The Indian calendar says today is the 30th of Asada, 1939, and the Unix time is approximately 15-00-66-7200. I wasn't sure exactly what time you'd be recording this, so it's plus or minus a few thousand seconds, I guess. My guest this evening is Jenna Marie. Thank you so much for being here tonight, Jenna.
You're very welcome, and I will even share with you my last name if you're interested. I know, my Facebook is so confidential.
if you'd like to.
Yeah, Jenna Pope.
Pope.
Super.
Like the Pope?
Like the Pope. Oh. Yep, I know. The Pope Mobile has been a name for my car before. People say that they're saving seats for the Pope when I go to see a show. It is very, very official.
Wow. And you are Catholic?
I grew up Catholic. Not so much anymore.
St. Robert's?
St. Robert's, oh, yeah. Yes. That's hilarious, yes. That's St. Robert's, one. I had someone recognize me from there the other day, and I was like, oh, wow, that was a while ago, yes.
Yeah, how about Pope Francis?
Pope Francis, I like Pope Francis.
Pretty great.
He is pretty great.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
Me too.
I like to start out each episode with the mission statement for the show, which is, the purpose of the Grand Cast is to explore the comedy scene in Grand Rapids, Michigan, as it exists in 2017, Gregorian, through a series of conversations. And I'm trying to get better about not assuming things, so I don't want to assume people's calendars.
Okay.
It seems very American of me. And then I also like to go over the goals for the show.
Great.
The first of which is to post one new episode weekly, which has been going for 20-some weeks now, and then to make at least one person's day better through the creation of quality content.
I love it. Sounds super feasible.
Yes. I think we'll accomplish both those goals this evening.
Fantastic.
Into the interview portion of the show, what is your favorite color?
My favorite color is orange.
Is there a particular shade of orange?
I typically say orange is like in a sunset, which sounds super stereotypical, but I also like it, and I don't like thinking about an orange like the fruit, because that's not so much what I think about when I think about my favorite color. But yeah, like a sunset, super dark and pretty. It's nice.
Nice. If you had to be transformed into an animal, which animal would you choose to be? Which type of animal? My copy editor is...
No. Editing comments need to be made. I think if I had to be transformed into an animal, recently I've been super into foxes. And I think part of that could go along with the orange fetish that I have currently, but also... in general, I just really like foxes and how they hide away in their caves because I'm a super introvert. So I appreciate that part of them and just being clever and walking around like that. I think I would enjoy myself.
Yeah. And the hunting part of it? Are you a huntress?
I am not a huntress. I have never been hunting, and I have a very hard time imagining myself hunting, just the like sitting. I don't even know what it's called where they sit. Like, they sit in this place and they just watch and look for animals. And I would get very bored very quick. So I can't really imagine myself doing that. But for survival, I can handle it probably.
I was just watching Planet Earth 2 last night.
Fancy.
And in the second episode of Planet Earth 2, there was a segment on a fox, I think in Siberia, where they have to hunt during the winter. I think it's like the only fox that doesn't hibernate. And it has to like jump around on rocks, listening for the mice scurrying around in the snow, and then like dive up and into the snow to pounce on the mouse. It was pretty cool.
That's intense. Planet Earth is amazing.
Yes.
I have never watched it until this year. And then my fiance was like, you have to watch it. And she gets really involved in the watching of it, like wants to reenact scenes from it with Funny Girls, the troupe that I'm in. And I'm not at that level, but I do think it's incredibly impressive. Like what they do in their filmography. It's awesome. I love it.
They're recording things that might never be seen ever again, like might never be recorded, and they're recording it for the first time.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And if you watch how they record it, like all their journeys and their struggles, I just, it's so heartbreaking sometimes. They're like, we camped out on this glacier for 5 hours and we didn't get the footage we wanted, and you're like, oh no. It's just so sad. I love it though. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the greatest human accomplishments, is that compilation of so many documented animal behaviors and just natural events. Because there's a whole bunch of different series. There's like Planet Earth, Life, Human Planet, and then it breaks down. There's like Ice Planet, or not Ice Planet, Frozen Planet. There's Africa, there's Madagascar, like Great Barrier Reefs, maybe, or Reefs or something.
I want to watch that one. What is Human Planet?
Human Planet is like an exploration of how humans interact and change the environment, interact with and change the environment.
It's like anthropology, sociology-ish?
Kind of. Like how we've modified the Earth and...
That's interesting.
How it reacts, yeah.
Cool.
Probably my favorite documentaries, I'd say.
Yes, absolutely. It's stunning, everything they do.
Yeah. What is your earliest memory of experiencing comedy?
That's a great question. Well, I think one of my earliest memories experiencing comedy, I used to live in Wisconsin. I was born in Milwaukee and was there for my first couple years of life, and then we kept coming back. There's this place called Leaps and Bounds, which was like a Chuck E. Cheese type situation, but I just remember the ball pit really vividly from when I was younger, and there were lots of shows, live shows at this place, and I just really remember like being in the ball pit and getting super fascinated by the shows that were going on, because it was like clowns running around on stage, and I was just fixated on what was happening. And my mom had apparently been talking to me while I was in the ball pit and was like, get out if you're gonna watch the show. And I was not interested in that. I was like, I'm comfortable in these plastic balls, I'd love to stay here. So I remember that sort of thing when I was younger, being interested in it. And then later in life, I think comedy, honestly, like Disney Channel comedy, which is not the best quality, obviously, but I remember that's the first sort of TV show that I started getting invested in, which had comedic elements, because I was always like a very dramatic child. And so it was good for me to branch out and get some comedy in my life.
How did you first get involved in performing comedy?
Well, I grew up my entire life training to do musical theater. I mean, went to like college prep camps, was really intense about it, never viewed myself as a comedic actor at all. Was just like, I'm not a funny person. This is not something. I took improv classes when I was in middle school and high school, and it was one of the worst experiences in my life, just because I did not feel good in that realm. But then after college, moving back to Grand Rapids, I started dating Aaron, Becca, and Funny Girls happened. And I would just sit in the corner of Funny Girls rehearsal. So the way it would happen is they would all sit around a table, and I was like, well, I'm not in Funny Girls. I'm just going to sit over here by myself and do my own work and chuckle along with whatever happens. And so after a point with all of that happening, the Funny Girls were like, you know, you're here every week. You can't just sit in the corner anymore. You need to do something with us. And I started performing with them, and they definitely helped develop my confidence with comedy and gave me notes and encouraged me, because I've acted my entire life. And then they were like, oh, you can actually be funny when you're reading lines and doing all that sort of thing, which I never believed up until that point. And so Funny Girls was huge in encouraging me to do comedy, because I did not think that was a thing beforehand.
That's a good segue into the next question. Let's talk about, well, it's not a question, I suppose, but let's talk about Funny Girls.
Yeah, Funny Girls is great. We've been around, what, I mean, almost 2 years now, I think? It's awesome.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought it was longer.
I think October is our two-year anniversary, if I'm getting that correct, because we performed in last year's GRIFF, the Grand Rapids Improv Festival, and the year beforehand, we were created because GRIFF had no female troops, all female troops, from what I recall. So then Aaron got a whole bunch of people together to do it. But 2 years, I'm pretty sure, coming up in October, which, oh, nice. I agree, it feels like longer. We are so busy all of the time that I'm like, it has to have been longer. We're doing all of these things. But no, 2 years going into it.
You all work so well together, it just seems like you've been working together longer, but yeah, that's great.
Yeah, we funnel through lots of people. We are each other's friends, pretty much. We hang out all the time.
And you do sketch and improv and...
and stand-up and music and video. We try and do everything depending on what our members are interested in. So for a while there, we were doing a lot of video things like YouTube or whatever, just because we had members who were great at that. And since then, those members have kind of stepped back, and so we're like, well, we're going to step back on that. But now we have some really strong stand-ups. And so now we're going strong with the stand-up and sketch, because, I mean, anyone who's seen a Funny Girl show knows that the sketch is super strong. Like Amy Gask and Kristen Hirsch, I cannot believe their writing skills. They are amazing. So we like doing that. And then improv, obviously, is wonderful.
Yeah. Have you ever been a part of any other improv troupes or comedy troupes?
I have not. Like I said, in middle school and high school, I did take improv classes at Civic Theater. And it was just not my jam. I think I'm way too much of a perfectionist and an introvert to feel comfortable like speaking off the top of my head, which, I don't know, we'll see how that develops in the past or in the future. But recently I stepped up to the Calm Jam and did a little bit of something there. And that was the first time in a while I have been a part of a troupe or done anything publicly other than Funny Girls. So that was kind of exciting.
Was that this week?
Last Monday. So not this past Monday, but the Monday before. That was the first time I had jumped in to the jam in a long time, which was exciting, but terrifying also. I knew the game really well, so I was like, I'm comfortable doing this, where sometimes I'm like, I have no idea what this is. I'm not going to step up, but I like watching.
I like watching also.
Yes.
Do you prefer improv, stand-up, or sketch comedy for performing and for watching?
That's a good question. For performing myself, I definitely prefer sketch. I just think maybe because it's easier in my mind, even though I don't think everyone would view it as easier, because you're memorizing lines and you're getting notes and have to develop a character, all that sort of jazz. But I like it because someone else has written the words for me, and then I can just decide how to say them. It's not something I have to come up with on the spot. But for watching, I think a lot of it depends on the troupe or the individual that I see. Sometimes I go to sketch shows and I'm like, whew, none of those hit with me, or that sort of thing, and it's just not relatable. But I do that with improv shows as well. As I go to an improv show and I'm like, I don't think I followed what was happening in that long form improv thing that was going on. And so it depends. More recently, I've been liking stand-up. I think for a while there, I was seeing a very specific subset of stand-up performers. And I think most people will say that stand-up in Grand Rapids is very male-centric. Mm-hmm. There's lots of males doing stand-up. And so I was seeing that a lot and was having trouble relating to things, because I would go to Dr. Grin's or I would go to all these places and I was like, oh, they're funny, but I don't have any of their life experiences at all. And so it's hard to laugh at something. And then within the past probably 3 or 4 months, I think probably since Kara's Funniest Person in Grand Rapids, I've been looking to see more stand-up and going to like Tip Top or Holiday Bar, that kind of thing. And I've been much more impressed with the stand-up community than I was previously. So that has been exciting to see and kind of branch out with a little bit.
Yeah, I went to Tip Top Deluxe Open Mic Tuesday for the first time this week. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun. Saw Michael Bustler, who's going to be on next week, I believe.
Exciting.
Yeah.
That's fun. Yeah, I hadn't ever been to Tip Top at all ever in my life. And then Sydney, who's one of our new funny girls, approached the group when she was not at all in the troupe and was like, you're females, I'd like to run my stand-up by you. And so she came in to one of our meetings and just like did her set for us and asked us for feedback. And then was like, I'd love some female supporters in the crowd. So I went and had a great time. And she was the only female stand-up that was there, but it was awesome. It was really fun. I enjoyed it a lot. And now she's continued with us. And so she's a good addition. We like having stand-up people in our group. We don't have too many right now.
Nice. Yeah, Tip Top is every Tuesday starting 9:30, I believe.
I think so,
or
yeah.
Or 9.
Yeah, 9 or 9:30.
And then Holiday Bar does an open mic at least one Monday a month. I'm not sure. They do stuff on other Mondays, but I think the comedy open mic is once or twice a month, something like that.
Yeah. It's really fun, though, to get into that and see. Because there are lots of people that you see every week. If you're in the scene with Calm or Drunken Retort, if you go to that, or, you know, that sort of crowd. But then you go to these other places and there's people you've never seen ever before. And that helps you branch out, because if you're only staying in one world, it's you're getting stuck in your own little area and you're not seeing other things. So I think that's nice.
Yeah. You ever go to Chicago to see shows?
I haven't gone to Chicago too much to see shows. I actually, and this is going to sound kind of pretentious and ridiculous, I go to New York more than I go to Chicago. I go to New York every year, and that's because my best friends in the entire world live in New York. So my friend who I went to high school with and someone I grew up doing theater with, they live in New York. And so I've been going there every year and have been seeing comedy shows there, like UCB or, you know, that sort of thing. And it's been great. Aaron went with me for the first time last April, and we went to a UCB show there, and it was beyond anything that I could have ever imagined for an improv show. Just the number of people in the crowd and the number of people who are interested or like are doing it as their profession was astounding to me. Like the people in the audience, they were like, oh no, this is like what I'm doing with my life. And I was like, oh wow, okay, great. But it was also cool because Aaron and I both got so many ideas from that coming back to Calm. And so some of the structure of Calm changed after that, because it was run in a very different way than Calm had been running. And same thing, we went to Chicago, I don't know, probably like 6 months ago, and went to a couple of different comedy theaters with one of her improviser friends. And it's just fascinating to see how everyone runs their improv shows, and especially when they do a jam or they invite people up on the stage, because they have their own rules and they do their own thing, and people get sassy if it's not following their rules. It was just fascinating to me, and like they had specific things that they were working on with each game that they were doing. And I've never seen that happen before where it was like, we're going to play this game, but you specifically need to work on this skill. Hmm. It was really interesting. I'm a teacher, and so it was interesting to me to, like, focus on that. Cause, like, usually when I watch improv, it's just, like, be funny and, like, follow the rules of the game. So I liked seeing people try and do something specifically because it made it much more challenging.
What do you teach?
I teach special education for 7th and 8th graders during the school year. And then over the summer... This summer, I am coordinating camps at Civic Theater, so I am organizing most of the day and making sure that behavioral issues are dealt with our lovely children. I give the discipline talks to our teenagers, telling them to stop flirting and get off their phone. So that's always fun. A fun job to have is doing that, organizing things.
Nice.
Yeah.
What are some of your all-time favorite comedic movies?
Oh, gosh. Some of my all-time favorite comedic movies. I feel like, in general, I shy away from comedic movies because a lot of them are of a genre that I don't love. I don't know how, a nice way to really say it, but movies like Napoleon Dynamite or like Hot Rod or that sort of thing aren't super in my wheelhouse, and neither are romantic comedies. Hmm. And so it's hard to find a comedic movie that is like super highbrow, great. I would say Christopher Guest movies are probably my favorite comedic movies because I think they're so intelligent and hilarious just in general. We just watched Mascots, which mm-hmm. was on Netflix, and I was just dying. And I've seen so many of his movies before, and I mean, they're very similar Christopher Guest movies, but it was like I could not get over some of it. I thought it was so funny, and I think his movies are very relatable, whereas sometimes you go and see a comedic movie and it's this world that you're like, I can't get into this. But in his, you've seen a mascot before, like you've seen a dog show before, whatever, you've auditioned for a show. And so it's stuff that most people can like get on board with, which is hilarious. I would say any of his movies are my favorite, and I think they're so funny.
Nice.
Yeah.
What are some of your all-time favorite television shows?
Television shows. I think I have a lot of these. I, for a very long time, also did not watch comedy TV shows. And I think it was just something where you had to grow into it. Because so many of the comedy TV shows are a little older. You have to be out of high school to really appreciate the humor. Yeah. So in high school, I would try and watch these shows. And I was like, I don't get it. It's not funny to me. But recently... I've been getting into so many. So Parks and Rec, obviously, is fantastic. And 30 Rock, Mindy Project, I really like. And New Girl, I think, are fantastic. I'm trying to think of which other ones I like. So many good TV shows. Oh, Master of None, I think, is great. Not super comedic all the time, but I like Aziz Ansari a lot. I think he's fantastic. So all of those classic ones are really good. And I really like I think from all the ones I saw, female driven comedy shows, I think they're fantastic. And Parks and Rec is probably my favorite of all of those. I relate to April so hardcore that I'm like, yeah, that's like pretty much my life. That sounds good.
If you were a character from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which one would you be?
I think I would probably be the waitress. Thinking about that cast, just because I totally am living my life, doing my own thing. And I just can't imagine having a Charlie following me like that or spying on me and doing that whole thing. And her reactions are just golden every time she's talking to him. She's like, what are you doing? Or, I love that character because it's so comedic, but it's also so realistic at the same time. And you're like, the comedy in it is that she's reacting in a human way. And I love playing that character in sketches as well as being the straight character and being like, no, I'm going to have a genuine reaction to what you're saying because what you're saying is ridiculous. And Charlie is just so lovable and adorable and amazing. I think I'd be the waitress. Just, I think she's fantastic.
Nice. Let's talk about The Nightman Cometh.
Yeah. I love The Nightman Cometh. And you just gave me a t-shirt, which I'm really excited to wear for it. I think Always Sunny is one of the best television shows. And I think that it's so tastefully done. A lot of the times, you see comedy that has those themes in it that are like controversial or sensitive themes, and they are not done well.
Yeah.
And I just feel like Always Sunny handles it in such a great manner. And I don't know that I've seen any other television show that does that.
Hmm.
I'm trying to think of any television show that handles the subjects that they do. Like, anything, underage drinking, racism, like there's so many subjects that they handle, and they do it in such a farcical manner that you're like, no, that's funny, that's not offensive. Whereas most of the time you watch, you're like, oh, that was not appropriate. I don't think that's funny at all. And I think Nightman Cometh is especially hilarious because it's Charlie's musical, which like Charlie never really does anything other than just like clean the bathrooms and check for rats. And he wrote this whole musical and it's adorable. And then he's like, no, it's not versus anyone. It's not for anything. And then he's like, oh yeah, at the end, I'm going to come in from the ceiling and propose to the waitress. Like, I think it's amazing. I'm so glad that Cam is doing it. I cannot wait.
Yeah. Cause you're doing the choreography for the live production of The Nightman Cometh at Dog Story Theater on Monday, August 14th
at
7 p.m.
Yes.
For $10.
$10.
But tickets are going fast.
Super fast. We're already talking about adding a performance, which is very exciting. But because tickets, they've been open for 2 or 3 days and they're already starting to get to like the halfway mark, which is unheard of with the comm shows that we have. So we're already talking about adding a Saturday date. Hopefully all of our main cast members can be there. We're talking about it right now. But yes, I'm going to do the choreography for that, which I think is a big challenge for me because if you watch the episode, it's a lot of like awkward movements and like kind of not really having choreography and doing things. But Aaron, the director, is really trying to make sure there's a little more dance element than there is in the stage version, because we also have a little more space than they have had in the stage version, because we're not going to have the set pieces as intensely as they had. So we're going to add a little bit of dance element. And even the dance audition that we had with everyone was like pretty legit. They had to do, you know, a jazz square and a suit new turn and all this sort of fun stuff. And we wanted to make sure people could follow choreography. So we'll see what happens once we start learning the music. We had our first read through, sing through last night. And there was a lot of, I've never heard this song from the live version type situation. They've watched the episode. And so we're going to work through that over the next week before our next rehearsal. And then we'll start doing choreography.
The live one is on YouTube. Just watch it.
Mm-hmm. That's what we encouraged everyone to do, because we're trying to combine the episode version and the live version to have some of the dialogue that is in the episode that isn't in the YouTube live version. Because there's so many wonderful moments, like with Gladys. You know, like, you don't want to miss out on her and all of her dialogue that happens, but the live version doesn't really have have all that much of that sort of thing. And so we're trying to figure out a way to combine all of that. And we have such talented people that we want to make sure we include them. Like Sarah Jean Anderson is playing Artemis.
Yeah.
And she's stellar, obviously. but she's also going to be voicing Gladys, which I cannot wait for because she did some of it last night. And I was like, you sound just like her. And you are... I don't know how old she's, like 30, and Gladys is supposed to be in her 80s or something. I was like, I don't get how your voice does that and how you're so talented. She's amazing. So I like that we're trying to combine the two instead of just doing one or the other. I think it'll be so good. And yeah. Zach and Tom having their dynamic is going to be stellar. It's going to be so good.
Yeah, I think they'll have a lot of fun with that.
They're already having a lot of fun with that. And it's been, what, like 48 hours? They're already all over Facebook, like, let's switch roles and do this. Like, okay.
Yeah, I hope you add a second and maybe even a third or fourth show.
Yeah. You
should put up posters at, like, Pyramid Scheme. And meanwhile, like, I'm sure you could get quite a few sold out shows.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's interesting because I feel like we started off just being like, this is a fun project for people who come to come. And then it grew really fast. As soon as it was announced, it was like, oh no, there's all these people who've never come to come who are going to audition and do all this stuff. And now we're trying to figure out, well, if we have that many people interested, how are we going to do a show and do all this stuff? And that happened with Clue that Fusebox did recently as well. Like, there were a set number of shows and then it sold out within 3 or 4 days. And we were like, oh, okay. I guess I didn't realize this is going to be that popular. We should add some more shows in, which is a wonderful problem to have.
Yeah.
Especially when you have a space like Fusebox that is free, that you can have free for the owner, who is the director. So you can have whatever shows you want there, which is great because there are 60 seats, which is just as much as Dogstar, which is fantastic.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
What streaming shows are you currently watching?
Streaming shows. Well, I'm currently watching Blacklist, which I don't know how many people have heard of that show. It was on for 3 seasons, and it's like an FBI detective-ish show. My dad told me I should watch it because he and I used to watch Alias together.
Oh, yeah.
And I loved Alias and have watched it like 5 times at least. One of my favorite shows. And so he's like, well, you looked at this a lot. You should probably watch Blacklist. And I was like, okay, well, I'll watch it. And started watching and got really invested. I also have a problem where I can't stop watching a show. If I've started it, I just have to finish it out. But it is really good. I'm almost at the end of season 2 right now. I just finished Sherlock, the 4th season. And then because I like that so much, I started looking up other shows that were like Sherlock, and ran upon this one called Paradise. I wouldn't say I recommend it, but I am pushing through. What is happening, it's just like this girl moved to London and is working in a shop, and right now that's pretty much it. And it's like, she at some point maybe in the future would like to own her own shop, but there's nothing else really happening. So that's interesting right now.
Paradise
is what it's called.
Mm-hmm. That's a good Coldplay song.
Yeah, that is a good Coldplay song. Exactly. Sometimes I wish that they started to branch out a little more. It was filmed recently, so then I'm like, you could do a lot with this, because it's not like it's an old show where like they had limited access to music and sets. It's like pretty recent, but it's okay. It's pretty good. And then just finished Orange is the New Black as well. So always good for that one, I think. And So You Think You Can Dance, that's another one I watch regularly because I'm a dancer. And so I love watching that show. Yeah.
Have you seen the music video for Coldplay's Paradise?
I haven't seen the music video, no.
It's really good. It's got a bunch of elephants in it.
Real elephants?
I don't know.
Well, now I'm going to have to look it up and see if it's real elephants in this video. Sometimes I wonder what the production scale of these music videos are, because like,
it's Coldplay. They right. have infinity money because
exactly
everyone on earth listens to Coldplay.
Right. And then, but like, how many people watch music videos? I don't know if I'm in a minority that's like, I don't really watch music videos.
No?
I don't. And
oh, you're missing out.
I know. That's, and so I don't know if I'm in the minority where I'm like, I don't really watch all that many music videos. So like, why would you spend all that money on them? Or if I'm like someone who is really isolated and really should be watching music videos because everyone else does. And I'm, I don't know. I just have no idea.
You're probably in the majority, but that that's only because the majority of people are old.
Mm.
I would say of people within our demographic, yeah, you're in a minority.
That makes sense, yeah, for this age range that I'm not watching them. I also have to say with music, though, I spent my entire childhood listening to Broadway tunes, not anything that was on the radio ever. And so I think because I grew up, Broadway doesn't have music videos, I grew up not watching those, that it was never something that I spent time looking for. And now that I'm starting to listen to more music that other people do, and I still have to like get pushed to do that, but now that I'm starting to do that, I probably should look out a little bit more for that sort of thing, because people tell me all the time about music videos, and the only ones I ever watch are Pentatonix.
Oh, and those are good though.
They are really good. I just, I'm in my own little bubble sometimes. And like, I listen to other music, I just don't ever watch their music videos. And I feel like they're probably pretty good. Just separating myself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they're just all on YouTube for free.
Right, which is also insane. I don't understand how that happens.
Pretty much everyone in the world can just go watch for free. It's great.
I love that. I love that world, just being able to find anything for pretty much free everywhere. It's crazy. I just found out that I have HBO Now or HBO Go, whichever one it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it out at 9:05 on Sunday when Game of Thrones was happening. So I was like, maybe we have this. Because like, Aaron and I watch Game of Thrones. And we had just gotten out of camp auditions, whatever, we're at camp this week. And we really wanted to watch Game of Thrones, but didn't know where to do it. And so I went home and was like, I have this, and got so excited about it. And now we're going to go back and watch all six seasons again because they're on there instead of illegally streaming them, which is what I've done in the past. And so I'm really excited that I can go legally watch everything and not have to wait for everything to buffer for, you know, 500 minutes before I can actually watch it. I'm excited.
Yeah. And check out the YouTube, like, all-time viewed music videos.
Mm-hmm.
They've really got pop music down to like a science now. Okay. In the 90s, they're still working on like the musical formulas that make people's brains excited, but they've got it dialed in. Now it's just like scientifically the most appealing music that they can possibly make.
I like
it. It's like candy for your ears.
Isn't that crazy though that people actually do research stuff like that? They're what music is appealing to whoever's brain, and we're going to make sure that these chords are in it, or like these words are in it, and it's this way. I think that's fascinating. I don't know who decided that they wanted to go into that for their life, but I love that. I think that's awesome. I also think it's a little scary that we do that, but it's cool. It's exciting.
A lot of our brains are like hardwired. You're going to respond to certain stimuli in certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how you're wired. So maybe that can change if you're mindful about things, but maybe not. Maybe it's all like biological hard coding in your DNA. Who knows?
That's so interesting to me.
Yeah.
I love it.
What is a joke to you?
What is a joke to me? I think that jokes to me, there's so many different types of jokes, but the ones that I laugh at, I guess I should phrase it that way. The jokes that I laugh at are the ones that tend to be a little more thought out, unless it's a pun, because I really like puns and I think that they're funny, for whatever reason, but in general, I'm not a huge fan of like slapstick comedy or that sort of thing. So I think jokes tend to be the ones that are a little higher brow and playing to the highest level of intelligence versus just going for the one that's like vulgar that people will laugh at all the time. And I like knock-knock jokes. Those are usually funny. I also work with middle schoolers, so I have to laugh at their jokes too, which most of the time... I work with middle schoolers with disabilities, I should also stress, so it's definitely like knock-knock jokes or puns for the most part.
Does a cyclops wink or blink?
That's a great question. I'm going to say blink because from my special education perspective, that is what the terminology would be. You wouldn't be like, well, just because we have one eye or winking, and be like, you're blinking because that's what you have, just like everyone else.
Thank you. What does it mean to be a comedian?
I think this is something I'm still grappling with within the comedy world of Grand Rapids. What does it mean to be a comedian? Because I don't view myself with that label. And I think a lot of people within Funny Girls don't view themselves as comedians. And I think that's a little unique in this world, is that that isn't our label. Because I think for me, a comedian is someone who views this as more serious and as a profession. And I don't necessarily view it in that way. I view it as something I do as a hobby, and I like doing comedy, and I think it's fun to be around, but it's not something that I'm striving for in my career. And I think comedians are people, if I were labeling them, are people who want this to be a little more serious. But I also see people in the Grand Rapids comedy scene who call themselves comedians most of the time as a joke. And so then I'm like, well, I don't know what to do with you because you're calling yourself a comedian, but then you're saying it sarcastically. So I don't know if you're being serious or not. In general, though, I think a comedian, especially within the scene we're in right now, is someone who wants to develop the comedy scene in Grand Rapids, whether it's a hobby or not. And I think that's where we are in Grand Rapids, is we don't have a huge, crazy comedy scene, but we're working on it and we're developing it, and especially with Comedy Project coming, I mean, we're starting to have that avenue for people. And so these sarcastically labeled comedians are starting to have more of a pathway to actually be serious comedians somewhere, and trying to make it a place for everybody. And I'm excited to see what Comedy Project does for that, for all these people who love comedy and love being a part of it, but have never viewed it as feasible. It's always been like, well, I have to have my day job because I can't afford to be a comedian. And now it's like, no, maybe you could. Like, maybe you could do other things. And I think that's super exciting.
Yeah. What is your motivation for performing comedy?
I think my motivation for performing comedy is I spent a lot of my time growing up being very, very serious and very intense about academics and my life and everything in general. And no one ever told me I was funny. And Funny Girls talks about this a lot, like the adjectives people use to describe you, because I always got certain adjectives and funny was never one of them, and so I didn't view myself in that way. And I think that has a lot to do with being a comedian and being that sort of person. If no one labels you as funny, that you don't see yourself that way and you're not gonna go towards that direction. And then a couple years ago, I like met this new person and we were playing this game, like, if you could use one word to describe me, what would it be? And he said funny. And I looked at him and was just like, what? No one has ever said that to me before. And he's like, no. And we had known each other, I mean, it was like 48 hours or something like that, not a very long time. But it just really shifted a lot of my perspective because I had never been told that before. And it made me very excited and very positive about the experience. And then shortly thereafter, I moved to Grand Rapids. And since I've been here after college, have been trying to really live a positive experience. Like, I lived by myself for a while, which was awesome. And have been doing shows in theater. But then theater is so different than comedy. Mm-hmm. Like, doing a real full stage, main stage show is very, very different than doing comedy. And for me, it gives me this different release than doing that. Because I was just in a show at Civic, and you rehearse for 6 weeks every night, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10, and then you perform for 3 weeks, you know, this sort of thing. And it's very serious. It's very intense. You do the same thing every night. And I love being able to do comedy and make people laugh with something that they've never seen before and that no one's ever seen before, especially with Funny Girls. We have over 60 sketches that we've written, and I mean, we always are coming up with new content, so no one's seen it before. And when you get a laugh, it's not just because they're like, oh, I probably should laugh at this line, because everyone always laughs at this line. People are laughing because it's a funny line, like whoever wrote it was funny, and then the actor is delivering it well. And I love that, making people laugh, especially in this day and age. There's a lot of serious stuff going on in the world, and people in Grand Rapids especially have been coming together and wanting this comedic world. And I love being able to do that. And it makes me feel excited in a way I've never felt about performing before. Because like I said, no one ever called me funny. And since that point, it has meant a lot to try and do that and develop that. And Funny Girls helps a lot with that.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Thank you. What is the best gift that you have ever received?
The best gift I've ever received. Well, one time when I was in middle school, let me just preface this. When I was 12, I made my parents a very elaborate PowerPoint about why we should get a dog, because we had never had a dog, and they were like, not into it. There's like, you guys are old enough, you don't need a dog, like, you're also all going to be teenagers soon, you're not going to take care of it. So I made this very elaborate PowerPoint. Like, I went to the pet store and found out prices, and I priced out how much this dog would be if we got it, and talked to my brothers, I have two younger brothers, about what each of our chores would be, this whole situation. So we ended up getting this first dog that I knew about for Christmas that year, because I had promised I would do all these things and did not follow through. But then, like, 8 months later, my parents were like, hey, we're going to go get a TV, and said they were going out shopping to find us this new TV, whatever else. So they came back home quite a number of hours later, which was like extreme to go get a TV, but I didn't know because I was 13. And they're like, everyone close your eyes. And I opened my eyes, and there was this tiny puppy running around, and they got us a second puppy because they really liked having the first one. That was one of the best presents, because I felt very validated in my pushing us to get a puppy once they got us a second one. It was great. So I love that. And they're still alive, which is great. They're so sweet. I saw them this weekend. I would say other presents that are really good.
Just the best one.
Just the best one. There you go. Yep. Puppy. There we go.
What kind of puppies were they?
Are they? Shih Tzus.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So they're tiny.
Are those the wrinkly ones?
No, they usually have really long, like, to the ground hair, and, like, the ponytail on the top of their head. That's not what my family does. But usually very, very long, like, silky hair. They're hypoallergenic. Like, they don't shed very much, which is why we got them. But they're so small. Like, one is 9 pounds and one is 13 pounds. They're so small. And then recently I have had another dog, and I can't get over the difference between the two, because the one is like 40 pounds and the other's like 9. I was like, this is very different for me. I'm not used to this, but they're both very snuggly. So I like that.
Going back to the previous question for a second. How are the theater and comedy communities different, and how are they similar?
Oh, great question. so different in many, many ways. I grew up in the theater community, so I guess I would say for me that tends to feel a little more comfortable. But I will also say that the comedy community has welcomed me in a way that I never anticipated would happen. It's been really exciting because the theater scene, you audition for a show and then you get into the show and you do rehearsals and you do the show and then you're pretty much done. For the most part, and unless you really, really made friends with the people that were in that show with you, you don't really hang out with them again. But the comedy community, I've been shocked by what I have seen from that, because I started coming to Calm a while back, like before I started dating Aaron, and then have continued to come, and I don't really do comedy at Calm. I just kind of show up and then started performing with Funny Girls, but everyone has been so kind and I see them every week, and it's just been fascinating to me. The theater community is very kind and welcoming in their own sort of way, but it's not an ongoing situation, whereas the comedy community, I feel like they are just like, you're here, I'm gonna hang out with you, and like, you're great type situation, and it's very fun to be around. I think one thing about the comedy community is it's sometimes hard to hold serious conversations. Yes. With anyone in the comedy community. I just had this conversation with someone pretty recently. We were like at a party, and it was all people from the comedy community. And someone was like, why don't you want to talk to me, to another person that's in Funny Girls that I was talking with? The person was like, 'cause I never know if you're being serious or not, or if you're doing a bit. Yeah. And it just rang true for me. 'Cause I was like, sometimes I feel like that, where I'm never sure if it's a bit or if we're like just being sarcastic with each other, or if we're having a real conversation when it's all these comedians together. Whereas in the theater community, it's definitely easier to be able to determine that sort of situation. But yeah, like I said, you don't necessarily hang out with them after the show then, whereas the comedy community, you see them for weeks on end. It's good.
What is the best gift that you have ever given?
The best gift I've given, well, I think probably just from my perspective, experiences are better than like physical gifts that you're given. So I've been trying to work on that recently, is giving people experiences or giving people something where we're spending quality time together, as opposed to like, here's my physical gift that I'm giving you. So, for example, last week, maybe the week before, Aaron and I went to Pictured Rocks area, and I got us a night in a yurt on Lake Superior, and it was just like this beautiful experience. It was just really nice, because like, you can have a campfire in this little yurt, which was like a Mongolian little house, and it was really cute, and it was right on Lake Superior, and just, it was so fun. A yurt, yes. Y-U-R-T.
That's like it's a house or like a tent? Or...
It's nicer than a tent, because it stands upright, like without you having to do anything, but it's a circle. And then...
Like a teepee?
No, but like teepees are more like a triangle, and it's like a circle on the base, and then the top is a triangle.
Okay, so it has walls.
Yeah, so it has walls. Like the walls are built in, and then there were beds like inside the yurt, which is nice when you're camping that you can have a bed for a night.
Yeah.
And a campfire that they had there, and it was cute because this place just opened. It was really adorable, and they had like this skylight that you could have. It was just so nice, like those little experiences and things like that. And I think experiences are great. Niagara Falls, we went there last year, and that was also like just a great experience. I had been to Niagara Falls in like 6th or 7th grade, and it was nice to go back as an adult. So that sort of thing, probably the best gift I've given.
Go to the American side or the Canadian side?
The Canadian side. I've never been to the American side of Niagara Falls, which people have told me I'm not missing out, but I also feel like I should go see at some point, maybe. I don't know. People are like, it's not great. You don't need to go.
No, it's like drinking a Coke and then saying, but maybe I should try a Pepsi too.
So probably not.
You're not missing anything.
There we go.
Did you go to the casino there, False View?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
We didn't, but I will say, we tried to go to breweries, like any brewery that was in Niagara Falls area. And I don't know what is happening with their beer production in Niagara Falls or in Canada. I have not spent all that much time in Canada. And I also don't know how you feel about some beer. But it, like, everything, even the craft beer, tasted like it was Miller Lite or Bud Light. And we went to Niagara Falls Brewing Company, like, tried to find this place. And we went there, and both of us are into IPAs. So we got an IPA, and it tasted like Miller Lite, and both of us were like, what is this? Like, what is happening with this? And we kind of talked to the people, like our server, and she was just like, well, you know, we don't want like super hoppy beer. Like, we want it a little chill. Like, people prefer that sort of thing. And both of us were like, well, we're from Grand Rapids, and that's not how it works there. And it was just so funny. We spent all this time looking for breweries and could not find decent beer. When we drove back into Grand Rapids, we didn't even go home. We went to Founders first. We literally like drove to Founders and got a Centennial. It was
hops.
Yeah, it was so good.
If you formed a band, what would the name of the band be?
The name of my band. The other day I was talking about wedding preparation stuff because I'm getting married semi soon. And I said Ostentatious Flowers, and I thought that would be a great band name. Just because I think it's so weird, like Ostentatious Flowers. And I know that it's kind of silly and doesn't make any sense, but I like it a lot. Ostentatious Flowers. I think that would probably be my band name.
Nice.
Yeah. Be really ridiculous about it.
You could do a lot with the merch, too.
Right, exactly. You could do so much with the design of it.
Yeah. Who are some of your role models?
Some of my role models. Well, I would say a comedic role model of mine is Mindy Kaling. I've read both of her books that have come out, and I try and read in general the books that come out, like autobiographies of people who are in the comedy scene. And so I've read Tina Fey's, Amy Poehler's, you know, Mindy Kaling. And Mindy Kaling's book, I was like dying of laughter out loud. And anyone who's ever seen me watch a comedy show knows that I don't laugh out loud really ever. And if it does happen, it's like a big deal. And people will be like, Jenna laughed. And they get really excited about it. And so when I was reading her book, I was just like, you are fantastic. And not just like as a producer and an actress and a human being, but like as a comedian and everything else. It was so good. So I think in this day and age, Mindy Kaling is wonderful with what she does. And I think she does it in a kind way, which sometimes gets hard to do in the Hollywood scene. Other role models of mine, I think in general, like, my mom is a role model of mine. She always taught me to be really kind to people, and I think it served me very well in from what I've been doing. And someone, I was saying this the other day, someone was like, what's the best compliment you've ever received from someone? And I was like, someone in the comedy scene actually was like, you are one of the kindest people that I've met. And it meant more to me than like any other compliment I've ever received in my entire life. And I was like, that's so great and so nice and just that sort of thing. And I'm so glad that my mom taught me how to treat people and how to be towards people all the time. I think that's great. And I think also My boss at Civic right now is one of my role models. She's in her second year there. Her name's Allison. And she is just killing it and making so many changes and wonderful things happen. And it has not been an easy road. And we are all going through a lot together, but she is dominating. And I love it. I love seeing people do that. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's talk about theater, directing, producing shows, choreography.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a lot, all that sort of stuff. I guess from my perspective with Funny Girls or just like my theater experience, we try and rotate roles a lot within Funny Girls. And so if you are stage manager of a show, currently you're also the artistic director, which sounds really fancy and formal, but it means that you decide a running order and you are designing the artistic vision of the entire show. And recently we had this whole discussion about how it can't be the same couple of people who do it every time, so everyone has to learn about it, because anyone who stage manages before, you realize that you are the person that people get angry at, and you are the person that has all the like stress and responsibility on you. So we had this whole conversation about how everyone needs to share in the responsibilities of being stage manager and artistic director. Because it's so hard to do that sort of thing, and you're responsible for everyone's props and rehearsals and making sure people's lines are learned and all that sort of thing. And I would say that's very much my role within Funny Girls, is like making sure that sort of stuff happens. The way we do our shows is we don't have a show director, we have a sketch director. So like whoever writes that sketch is the director of it, unless they cast themselves in the sketch, and then we have someone else direct and give notes, which has gone pretty well so far, trying to get that sort of thing down. But choreography is always interesting. I have danced for my entire life, from when I was, you know, 3 until now, and people will hire me for choreography or for other things, but I've never viewed it as one of my, like, yeah, this is something I'm going to promote myself for, because, I don't know, it's just not something I was, like, super solid in. And I got hired probably 2 summers ago at Civic to do choreography on a more regular basis, and so now I'm getting more comfortable with it, but it's always weird to me when I have to do it with adults. Like, when it's children, like, yeah, great, I can choreograph you second and third graders, not a problem, like, we'll do this, whatever. But when it's adults, I'm like, I don't, because most of the time adults, like, know if they can dance or not, and I should say all the time adults know if they can dance or not. And so then when you're doing choreography with them, you have the people who like try really hard and they're doing all this wonderful stuff. And then you have the people who are like, I'm not going to try because I know I'm not going to get it down. And then you're like, okay, well, great. This is fun for me as a choreographer. So we'll see. I think choreography is really fun. And it adds a lot into shows and pieces and things, but it's also really hard to figure out what everyone else can do when you're trying to do that for a show.
What is the favorite sketch of yours that has been performed?
Okay, favorite sketch. Probably going to think of most of Funny Girl's sketches.
One that you've written. You write sketches?
I do write sketches every once in a while. I've written a couple. I think one of my favorite ones was called A Wine Bottle a Day, and it was a teacher sketch, just because that's where I come from with my teacher world. And it was pretty much about how teachers get up, you know, like, so early in the morning, and
is that Angelica?
Yeah, that video, for sure. And it's just, like, ridiculous sometimes what teachers are going through, and a lot of it was my own life, like, what happened. But sometimes just the experiences you have with parents and students are beyond what people believe. And so you put it into a sketch and they're like, oh, haha, that's funny. And then you're like, no, that's actually, that's like a real life situation that happens with parents and students. And so I thought that that one was fun. That was one of my favorite ones that I've written in general, and Funny Girls in general. I like our music that we do. We did Now That's What I Call Liberalism. And we did that for Laugh Fest, I think. And it was really interesting because I don't know if the audience was super liberal. And so we got like some interesting reactions. There were some people who like thought it was hilarious because we were like, Bernie Sanders is our god, like he's gay, yeah, like whatever, this sort of thing. And just went on these rants about it. And then there were other people who were sitting like stone faced watching. It was like, I can't wait until you're done. But whatever, we had a good time and laugh. It was great to be in Laugh Fest, and so I like that sort of thing. Our music is always really fun.
I still haven't taken down my Bernie sticker yet.
Yeah. I love Bernie. Ugh, especially with everything that's happening now. Oh, God.
Bernie Sanders 2020.
Yes, please.
What are some of your favorite restaurants in Grand Rapids, and what do you like to order there?
Great question. I go out to eat much too much in Grand Rapids. I am one of the worst cooks that anyone knows. Tara is probably one of my favorite ones because of their happy hour that they have from 4 to 6, pretty much. So if you order like a large salad there, which is usually $12, you get it for $6. And you can get all this stuff. I always get the salads there, so I guess that's all I really know about ordering there. But their salads are so good, and their drinks are way cheaper at that point. They recently had an Earl Grey gin, and it was stellar. I was just there right before I came here. So clearly one of my favorites, but they changed that Earl Grey gin to a cucumber gin, and it was still really good. So one of my favorites. That's where we had our engagement dinner as well, so clearly one of my favorites. Sanchez is another one of my favorites. I've been going there for many years, like since I was in high school, and their blue cheese fritters are really good. I like any of their chicken dishes are usually pretty good, unless there's like a spicy element to it, just because some people are not into that at all. And their sangria, it's one of the best I've had around here, so I like it there. Those are probably my top two restaurants in Grand Rapids, I would say.
Are you vegetarian or anything?
I am not currently vegetarian. I was for about 4 years, and then I went to college and had the dorm meal plan, and you went to Central, correct? Just in general, like growing up in the Forest Hills community, and there's like a lot of pretentiousness about food and like whatever else, that whole situation. And then I went to college and like had this pretentiousness about food and was like, oh no, most people aren't like this. This is not how you can like live your life. And so I went into having this meal plan, and the only thing you could have if you were a vegetarian with food at the meal plan was you either had to have pasta every day or salad every day. And I was like, I cannot do this. And I had an unlimited meal plan, and so like that was the only place I was going to be eating, so I didn't know what else I was going to do. So I stuck with it my freshman year, and then I went on a study abroad trip the year after my freshman year in college. And in Europe, they just like don't let that fly. They're like, if you're a vegetarian, then I'm gonna give you a plate of vegetables, and I'm not like, you don't have other options. It's like you either eat meat or like you're gonna have this plate of vegetables. And so I learned very quickly that there were not gonna be options for me. And so once I was there, I was literally in Germany and was like, I guess I have to eat meat again, because there was nothing else for me to do. So then when I came back to the States after that for my sophomore year in college, I was like, okay, I'm gonna eat meat again. My current partner doesn't eat pork, so I don't really eat pork ever.
Is it a religious thing or just preference?
Used to be a religious thing. Like, she was part of this, like, this person, her mentor, who was a religious-ish mentor, didn't eat pork, and that was it. And then she's continued with that because of her digestive stuff. And then when we started dating, I was just kind of like, that doesn't bother me because I was a vegetarian for 4 years. Like, it's not that big of a deal to me to just not do it so much. But the bacon thing has been kind of interesting because I do like bacon, and I think it's great, and I don't think turkey bacon is a good substitute for actual bacon, so that's been kind of hard, because then when we go out to eat, if I order something with bacon in it, she can't have it, and I'm like, well, sorry, this is just, like, really good, and then you're choosing not to have it, so that's your choice. But, yeah, not a vegetarian, not anything fancy like that.
What is your favorite thing about performing comedy?
My favorite thing about performing comedy, I think probably my favorite thing is seeing what different people laugh at. I think that's fascinating, and I would honestly love to do, like, some sort of study about, like, what people laugh at, because no one laughs at the same stuff. Ever. Yeah. And so, especially within Funny Girls, we have like 15 of us who are pretty solidly in the group right now. So we'll go through these rehearsals sometimes and like be dying of laughter at each other, which is typical, but like watching these sketches, thinking they're hilarious. And then you put them in front of an audience and the lines that we were laughing at, no one else is laughing at. And then they're laughing at these other lines that no one else thought was funny. And you're just like, what is happening? And I love seeing that sort of thing because I know the people I work with are funny, but sometimes what I think is funny is not what anyone else thinks. And I love seeing that and figuring that out and trying. Our group especially right now is trying to figure out what makes us funny to a larger group of people instead of just each other, because we're almost 2 years old, like I said, and I don't want to say we're self-masturbatory, but like sometimes when we're doing sketches and whatever, you just encourage each other so much that you're like, well, we think we're great and we're funny and whatever. And so now we're trying to be like, well, just because we think we're funny doesn't mean everyone thinks we're funny. So now we should figure out what objectively is funny to a larger group of people. And I love that about comedy, that there are certain things that objectively are funny to a wider group of people, and then there are those subjectively funny things, like hit certain groups of people. I think that's great. I love that.
Puns are fun for everyone,
right? Because people get them, and it's great. And that's what I mean. Like, when we try and do that sort of research, we're like, well, puns are good because people get that. But then there are certain things, and like especially our super liberal jokes for some people, or like super female jokes for other people, like just doesn't hit sometimes. And I think it's so cool to figure that sort of thing out.
Yeah. What is your favorite thing about watching comedy?
My favorite thing about watching comedy, I think I'm specifically thinking of improv. I really don't watch too much sketch comedy. I don't think that's super common in Grand Rapids. Sketch comedy isn't, like, incredibly prevalent. I see it with Late Night GR, Funny Girls, or occasionally Planned Parenthood, that sort of thing. But there aren't too many places doing sketch comedy. So improv-wise, I really like seeing how people create their characters right off the bat. And that tells me if they're a really good improviser or not. Usually, if I'm like, they're a character immediately, and especially if it's someone I've seen a lot and they are being a character that they're not always, I love watching that in improv, because there are some improvisers you see who kind of hit the same character every time. But then when you see those improvisers who just like, are all over the board and they're just gonna like do whatever the scene calls for, those people are so talented, and I cannot do that. And so I love watching that, and just I'm in awe of people who can do that sort of thing with improv. It's so impressive.
What books would you recommend reading?
Books in general, I would say for comedy books, any of the autobiographies from comedians that are out there, they're so beneficial. I mean, like I said, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Mindy Kaling, all of them have amazing books. Lena Dunham, they're all great, and they tell you about their experiences in the comedy world. And particularly for people who are going to do comedy as a profession, I think that they're great to read because you get a realistic sense of, like, just because you're 25 and you haven't made it in comedy, you're probably fine. So it's nice to see that. But just books in general, I really like thrillers and mysteries. I just read a book called Find Her, and it got very intense. I was reading it on my, like, vacation or whatever, and I could not stop reading it, and it became very intense. So that's definitely my favorite genre of books. So I like reading that sort of thing in general.
Nice. Final question of the interview portion of the show. If you could tell your 16-year-old self one thing, what would it be?
My 16-year-old self, I would probably tell her to chill out. I was very stressed when I was 16. Chill out and not be concerned about the labels other people are putting on you. I think that was a huge issue for me when I was younger. I got, like, very concerned for a little bit about liking girls, and I got really concerned about, like, being labeled a nerd or, like, really into musical theater, all sorts of things. As, like, right around that age, and I think it would be good for me to just be like, hey, when you're 25, no one's gonna give a fuck what you're doing. Like, you're gonna be okay, and everyone's gonna be happy for you. So just chill out. You're gonna do your own thing, and it'll be good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I haven't had time yet to set up a transition into the break here. So if you wouldn't mind doing some sort of performance, musical or otherwise, whatever you're feeling, and then ring the bell when you're done so I know to stop it, please.
Oh, sure. Well, my performance-wise, I don't even know what I could do. I think for a performance, I can just talk about some stuff really quick. I think Funny Girl Show, I'm going to promote it really quick. We have a Funny Girl Show next Wednesday. I don't know when this comes out. But next Wednesday for Funny Girls, and then we're also going to have one in August, which will be super exciting. And we're having some amazing guest people coming in from other cities, which will be fantastic. It's the first time we're having people from other cities come in. This is our best of show for Funny Girls in July, and we're having a Funny Girls retreat tomorrow, so we're gonna see how much we bond in the next couple of days. Yeah, we're a good group. We have so much fun. And then Nightman Cometh, like Chris was talking about earlier, you should definitely all come see that. We're excited for that.